Live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, Episode 5. You're listening to WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle, in the studio with Jack. We're back again.
Another beautiful Wednesday.
How are we feeling?
Good. Another week closer to Fairfield basketball.
Exactly. Another week closer. We have a huge episode next week. We're going to be interviewing Jay Young. We're actually doing the interview this week, but it'll be premiered live next Wednesday. Same time as our show always is. It'll be on Spotify for everyone too that listens on there, so we're really looking forward to that. But not to get too far ahead of ourselves, we got to do episode 5 first, so let's start off. I have a couple headlines I wanted to start off with this week, and then kind of the direction we're going to go in is talking about the freshmen this week, and then talking a little bit about the MAC preview that was posted by Three Man Weave, which is
we've been seeing a lot of
buzz around that kind of preview. So we're going to get into that, but first we got a couple headlines I had from this past week, just some minor stuff before we get into it. First is that Fairfield had a commitment this week, 2021 Florida power forward Makai Willis. He is committed to Fairfield. He's 6'8" power forward. From the looks of his videos and stuff, looks to be a very athletic kid. I think he averages 10.3 points per game, 7.7 rebounds, and 1.4 blocks as a junior.
Size, obviously. Never mind more size.
Yeah, and obviously he's going into his senior year, so those numbers potentially
and possibly size and height
and
might go up.
And size could possibly grow. Yeah, and just again, just kind of like now as we see progressing each year, like Jay Young's team is starting to become more his own team, right? As Sidney Johnson recruits leave and he's going after these guys that are more athletic kind of players, quicker players that could definitely isn't the type of players that Sidney Johnson necessarily recruited all the time. So you can kind of see what he likes. Also, again, Florida, I think either the same like division or same kind of state bracket that Allen Jean Rose came from.
Final pipeline, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe there's something with that. And that was something we actually wanted to ask him next week. It's kind of his recruiting preferences because there's that. He also recruits New Hampshire a lot, right? Caleb, Chef, Jalen Leach. So there's a different – and I think Maryland, too, is kind of somewhere where he recruits from. So that's probably something we'll get into to ask him next week. But that was just something we wanted to touch on. The other headline is that NCAA this week – they granted an extra year of eligibility to all winter sport athletes, regardless of how much or how little they play this season. I guess even if they play a full season, they'll still have an extra year of eligibility, so they'll have a six-year window to play 5 seasons. So that could potentially be big for Fairfield going forward because who knows, like Taj Benning, Jesus Cruz.
I mean, they're going to have to replace them. So, I mean, you can get as many recruits as you can. They're like lottery tickets. Like, one of them is bound to
transfer. But they could return, too.
Oh, well, true, yeah. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, Jesus and Taj are both seniors right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to replace those two somehow. And, I mean.
Well, with the year of eligibility, though, they could return.
Oh, yeah, true.
Or a fifth year, so. That's, like, the big kind of thing is will they return next year?
Yeah.
How would that work with, like, scholarships and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, would they – like Jalen obviously had a plan before this corona thing of, like, ushering out Taj and Cruz and kind of ushering in Caleb, Leach, like, those kind of new guys. I wonder how he would – I mean, obviously, I think he would welcome them back, if I had to guess, but
– And how would that affect, like, people that are looking to commit here, right? Like
– Well, I mean, even especially guys that already committed are, like, Jalen – or Caleb, who – is only, what, a junior? He's a junior already?
Redshirt junior.
So, I mean, if Taj and them return, he doesn't really ever have a chance to play because Taj kind of takes his minutes as a point guard.
Not really this year, though.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He's probably going to start this year, so.
But whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a weird balancing act.
More so for younger guys that are thinking about coming here or maybe people that are, like, freshmen, sophomore.
True, kinda, yeah.
How would that affect their minutes, too? So, it's kind of complicated, but I don't hate it. I don't hate the rule of them adding extra year eligibility because who knows what happens? Who knows what's going to happen this season? They could play one or two games and the season could get canceled.
True, yeah, you never know.
So I definitely don't mind it. Obviously, we hope that doesn't happen, but So that's kind of the headlines for the week. It wasn't necessarily a busy week in terms of, like, news and stuff like that. But we promised, I think, two episodes ago before the interview that we were going to talk about the freshmen on the show. So that's what we're going to actually do with today's show, or at least portions of today's show. So you mentioned his name already. Probably the big freshman, the big name mm-hmm. being thrown around, Jalen Leach. So I guess kind of giving our opinion on him and stuff like that, just a little bit about him. He was ranked 11th in the New Hampshire class of 2020 and was ranked 28th in the New England area class of 2020. Reading some articles about him, apparently he was doing really well. He got kind of derailed by a couple injuries, like fluke injuries, and also like a shortened summer recruiting period, which resulted in him having kind of less recruitment level his senior year. So that could be potentially why he was, because he wasn't heavily recruited.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at his offers, I think he had like Iona, Boston University, like UMass Lowell, a couple different like schools. Nothing like crazy though. So that could potentially have been why though, his injury and shortened summer recruiting period. But I mean, from the looks of the things, right? Looking at his videos and stuff like that. He seems to be a good shooter, right?
That's what they say in this three-man weave. They say Caleb, he could bring
not
a
Caleb,
lot of...
Jalen.
Oh, Jalen. Oh, yeah. But yeah, Jalen, they talk about Jalen Leach kind of solidify himself as like a as getting playing time right away as a freshman, which we obviously mentioned that Jalen kind of doesn't really do very often. I mean, the only freshman really saw get big minutes last year was Allen. So,
yes. So, like, that's the thing, too. Like... That's kind of was later on in my points. Was like a lot of people seem to say that he can get big minutes this year. Like a credible website like that seems to say it. I've seen people throw around him potentially being one of the top scorers on the team this year. And like from the looks of things, you definitely can't doubt it. But my biggest question will be, and I'm sure we could kind of ask him next week too, is will Jae Young give him like big minutes this year? Is that even on the plan for him? Because again, we talked about it last year. He brought the freshman along pretty slowly, right?
Yeah, like, Allen especially. Even Allen, like
exactly.
Allen, we barely even saw Allen play the first half of the season, and then it
he
was
starting by the end.
It was that after that buzzer beater he had, it seemed like he kind of started getting major minutes the rest of the season after that.
Yeah, and like big game against Canisius mm-hmm. too at home. So he brought those guys along kind of slowly, and they proved themselves over time, and now they've fit into their starting roles. I'm sure Mido will be starting.
I'm sure
stuff like that. And even Mido too. We saw him start last year.
But
he
was
sit for a long portion.
Yeah,
of the
it was
game.
Weird. He never really got that second level of playing time that Allen got. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
he'd
start and then you wouldn't see him again until
he'd play
seven, eight minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure if that was just unique to those two guys or if like
that's like a setup plan.
Kind of something that Jae Young does. We don't really know. We've only seen him for one season, but I'm interested to see if he's willing to give Jalen Leach that type of, like, you know, playing time, or if he's going to bring him on slowly as well.
I hope, because, I mean, I think Jalen, even Caleb, like, both of them getting more minutes will just allow for Taj to play better. I think for the rest of the team to play better, because both of them seem like they're both great ball handlers, better shooters than we've had, and they can just probably just put less pressure on, like, Cruz and Benning to do all the work on offense, which we kind of saw a lot of the time last year.
Yeah, so just other things on Jalen Leach, too. He's obviously a good deep-range shooter. He's going to be something we desperately need, mm-hmm. obviously. But he also, in the videos of him, he looks like he can score at the rim, too, get to the rim. Looks pretty comfortable.
It seems like that's his biggest thing, is like he can score with the best of them.
Yeah, even mid-range, everything. Mm-hmm. His highlight tape had it all. He had a ton of different moves, could score from all parts of the court, which is really important. I also read stuff about him. He can if he needs to. He doesn't also have to be like point guard. He could also compliment.
I mean, that's
Caleb,
that's good because I mean Jalen or he could either compliment like Caleb or even Taj at the point. Like Taj at the point wasn't terrible. I mean, obviously he didn't look like natural in that position, but I mean he definitely did get better over the course of the year playing that point guard position. So I mean, just having that option to have different guys bring the ball up and kind of start the offense is good. It just gives more looks to the defense. I mean, the only person that we really trusted in the ball last year was Taj. Maybe Idis, but outside of that, really, it's just mostly Taj because Idis barely played. So, I mean,
I feel like it's not really going to be necessary this year to have Taj be point guard unless he wants to go unless Jalen wants to go to a big lineup.
Yeah. But just saying like the option is there. The looks like if they're struggling offense, they have that look to give the defense to kind of switch it up. I mean like if they were struggling offense, they only had that Taj point guard kind of cruise daytime scorer.
And then like a smaller lineup of Caleb and Jalen Leach.
Yeah.
Both on the court at the same time.
It'd be very fun to watch. If Jae Young ever put that line together, that'd be fun to watch with Caleb and Jalen.
And that would probably be and Mido huge, with the, like, scoring-wise.
And Mido with the five to kind of make up for the height, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to watch.
That'd be big. And again, like, and he's another New Hampshire prep school kid, so he played in the same kind of pipeline as Caleb and Chef.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, again, another area we got to ask Jae Young if that's kind of something he likes to recruit from. He also attended Bergen Catholic his freshman year, which we know well.
Yeah.
Taj Benning went there. So... interesting to see. So Taj Benning was a senior when he was a freshman there, so interesting to see. I don't know if they knew each other or had any type of friendship or anything like that, but just the fact that they both attended the school is like kind of something that they could connect on, right? So there's a lot of different things like that around this lineup this year, guys that have like at least went to similar places or played in similar places.
It helps with just chemistry.
Yeah, just chemistry in general, something to kind of like talk about and spark that chemistry. There's a lot of different instances of that over the team this year. Again, people say he could be our top scorer. I'm not really sure yet, depending on what type of minutes he's going to get.
Yeah.
And an article, I'm not really sure where I saw it, but it pointed out his strengths and his weaknesses. And it said his strengths are that he's a dynamic scorer who can create off the bounce. He's an elite ball handler. He has excellent speed and quickness in transition. And he's not afraid to get to go vertical to put down a flush. And also, he's a capable defender that can make an impact block and steals on occasion. But his weakness is that his defensive effort comes and goes at times. And he definitely an offensive level scorer, a high-level offensive scorer, but can focus on going one-on-one a bit too much and become ball dominant. So... that's kind of the strengths and weaknesses pointed out.
This is Jalen.
Jalen Leach still, yeah. So defensively, like it says, defensive efforts can come and go. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like normal with guys that score a lot. Like you give up so much effort on the offensive end, you're bound to kind of take a break on defense to make up for
and
it.
And also like guys that are good in high school that...
yeah, like you're the best guy on the court. Obviously, yeah. You're going to like kind of lack like
you feel like you can slag a whole bit. Now you're a freshman at a D1 college.
Yeah, you
team.
Have to like prove yourself.
And you're playing in a system that... is very defensive minded.
I mean, that's Jae Young's philosophy. They were Fairfield. That was they were top. They're very good in every defensive category last year. So it's not like they were pushovers on defense. Like that was the one part of their team that Jae Young seemed to figure it out right away.
Yeah, so slacking on defense is it's not something that Jae Young's going to even allow.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think.
So I'm not worried about that really at all. And it even mentioned in here that he's capable on defense.
It goes back to your point about the high school. It's just. Like you, when you're the best player on the court, you can slack off, but you know it's there. You know it's there.
Especially when you know, like, yeah, you're doing all the scoring. You come back on defense, you slack a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe your team's up by a bunch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Different reasons that can contribute to that, but I just don't think
if he's fighting for minutes, he's going to be playing hard every defensive possession.
And if he goes out there and doesn't, Jae Young will
take him out. Yeah, and that's where it goes.
But so I guess the outlook on Jalen Leach is we're excited to see him. That's probably the most exciting freshman.
And also with the ball dominant, I mean, yes, it's not like a great quality to have, but honestly, it's better than what we had last year where it was no one really wanted the ball in their hands.
Guys were passing.
Yeah, passing out of shots that were like pretty open.
Shot
I mean,
clock
I'd,
running out, I'd, someone throws up a random
I'd
shot.
Rather him take the initiative and take a bad shot, take a few bad shots, than to have it just the clock run out and take a half-court shot. Because, I mean, say he drives on two guys instead of like, passing out for another like swing.
Uh-huh.
Say he gets fouled, possibly like he might actually even make it. Like it's better than a half court shot from Hayes Cruz at the end of the shot clock.
That's actually a great point too. There really wasn't.
There wasn't that guy that took
that were like confident enough to just take it. So that's actually that's a good.
And I think
point.
Jalen, even Caleb, it seems like he has that kind of confidence in scoring.
Yeah,
himself scoring.
For sure, I definitely think he does too. And so the outlook on Jalen Leach is we think he's going to be a good player. Obviously. Definitely probably the most exciting freshman that we've seen. But, again, it's all going to come up to what is his role that Jae Young sees him having. How quick will he bring him on as a freshman? Will it be slow start? Or will he be willing to throw him in as the backup point guard right away, give him big minutes?
Will he turn him loose with, like, like shooting wise, or will he have make him play like within the system? Kind of like you never know. I don't know, because you know Taj, like even like Taj, like he kind of made him like play within the system, like swing it, kind of cut that kind of stuff when he could have easily just been isolating a lot more.
Yeah, so it's all it's dependent on like coaching strategies and stuff like that. But regardless, I think he's going to be a good player the road.
By senior year, he'll be the best player on the team probably.
Yeah, for sure down the road. Just right now this year, the outlook is what type of minutes is Jae Young willing to give him? And again, if he proves himself, you got to play him.
Yeah, if he scores 10 points in his debut in 8 minutes, there's no reason why you wouldn't play him.
Yeah. So we think he's going to do well, but it's all dependent on coaching. Second freshman we got, Supreme Cook.
Another fun one that we've been looking at for a while.
Yeah, another one we're excited for. He's a New Jersey guy like us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my expectations for him, I guess, to kind of just put it at the beginning, I think he's going to provide assistance to Mido, right, this year, kind of. While he works to get stronger and he kind of learns the system.
Especially with no Easy or Sanger Peterson, Methnani,
guys like that.
A lot of big men left this year.
So he's going to, you know, provide assistance to Mido. Mido will obviously be the starting guy, the main guy. But similar build for Supreme Cook. I think he'll help out while Mido sits. You know, a lot of time big guys like that don't play, like, big minutes, too.
Yeah.
It's
hard with, like, especially Mido. He's so lanky and long that it's hard for him to play 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, and
especially at that young of an age.
I remember I watched a video on Chris Mido. It was an interview he did before he came to Fairfield. And they asked him what was kind of one of the things you got to prepare most for college. And he was talking about getting in shape.
Getting,
you know, conditioned enough for a college game.
Especially because they play even more minutes. I think high school, what do they play? Four 8-minute quarters. In college, it's 8 more minutes of game time.
Yeah, and it's quicker.
Quicker, you know,
better.
More possessions.
Opponents. So, that going back could also be why he sat a lot last year. Maybe he wasn't conditioned enough.
It could be true. I mean, that's something you work on. Like, that's, like, not, like, a bad thing. It's just, like, basic. I mean, it's hard to expect a guy who's a freshman that big, that tall, to kind of come in and condition enough to play 25, 30 minutes. Especially because I don't think Jae Young anticipated him to be that talented, I guess, that good right out of the gate.
Yeah, and we talked about last year, right? He would come out, and then guys like Sanghor Peterson would go in, or Methnani, guys that weren't as skilled, that weren't as good, really.
I mean, they ended up playing more minutes than him.
Now you have someone like Supreme Cook that could back him up, that's hopefully is more athletic, more skilled, can score better. You know, so he averaged at least 10 points or more from his sophomore year on, at least over 10 points. So he can score, right? We didn't really have faith in, like, Sanghor Peterson or Methnani scoring last year.
Yeah, I mean,
in general, not even from outside, but just from all
about,
inside as well.
It's all about potential. I mean, just, like, we kind of knew what we get from Sanghor Peterson and Methnani. I mean, it was, like, we expected 6 points, 4 rebounds. That's, like, whatever, 4 points, 3 rebounds.
Yeah.
That's what we expected. Supreme Cook or Mido on any given night, they could drop 15 and 10. Like, for all we know, like, it's just, like, potential-wise, like, just, like, the athleticism they have. Like, I mean, I'm watching Supreme Cook highlights, like, he makes consistent dunk, consistent putbacks, a lot of rebounds. I mean, we didn't get that from any of our big men last year.
Exactly, and I think that's what I'm saying, too, is, like, when Mido leaves, because we expect him to be a lot better this year, too. I know Fairfield, actually, they just put up if you look at their roster, they put up their pictures for the year.
Oh, really?
They took their pictures, so you see they're all in their jerseys. Even the new guys and everything are all in their jerseys now. I was looking at Mido's picture. He actually looks a little bit bigger than last year in the picture. I don't know if it's just the picture, but he does look a little bit stronger in the picture.
Hey, look at that. He does. I see that.
Right?
Yeah. He's more defined.
That wasn't
it seems
just me.
Like.
Yeah. He does. So, you know, if we can get a good contribution out of him, and then just rely on Supreme Cook kind of when he goes out, just to obviously doesn't have to like
doesn't have to burn
have to
the
dominate,
yeah he doesn't
but he just
dominate
has just to hold his own
just hold his own. I mean, get a couple of rebounds, get a couple like putbacks, like go to the line a couple of times. Like,
if
I'm not asking
be,
for you to like
if
score
he
a possession.
Can be Chris Mido last year, right?
Do what
he did, but do Supreme Cook's version this year. While Mido sits the bench.
So all I ask, run the rim. Run rim the rim.
Yeah.
Get rebounds, lay in easy baskets, and that's all I need from you. Don't do anything more. Nothing like, it's not like I'm not asking to be like Jokic and like distribute from the post. Like,
yeah, no.
I'm just asking like the rim run.
Exactly, and just as a backup center or whatever.
Yeah.
We're not exactly. It's just you got to just do your job. Mm-hmm. Just hold your own while Midas rests or whatever. So another thing to note too, when we talk about all these connections. Supreme Cook played AAU basketball, New Jersey Roadrunners, same program that Taj Benning played in. So again, another connection. Mm-hmm. I don't think they played together necessarily, but just another thing to spark chemistry with this team. You have a lot of new guys coming in, but they all kind of have something they can talk about and relate to with different players on the team, so that definitely helps with chemistry. So kind of what's your outlook then for Supreme Cook? We kind of talked about it, but just to sum it up.
For this year, it just be a competent backup center for Mido and be able to step in if he does get foul trouble. Like, play well enough that Jalen can confidently put you in big minutes if Mido was to either get hurt or get into foul trouble. Be confident, play well enough to be confident that play well enough that Jae Young could be confident to put you in those big moments.
And again, like he's not the only other big man we have.
Yeah, exactly. We have Chef. We have Chef. Yeah,
Chef. There's still Chrysler, depending on situation.
Chrysler
still,
and yeah,
we don't know if they're going to be.
And we also have Jason at a Kapai. I don't know.
Yeah.
How to pronounce. But I mean, he's a little on the smaller side. He probably play more of the four, but still big enough to kind of bruise a little bit.
Yeah. So, again, we're not expecting him to
set the world on
crazy,
fire.
But, you know, good contribution from him, and I do expect it. So then the last freshman, you just mentioned him, Jason Adogpie. He's
Is that how you pronounce it? It took me a few minutes.
See, I was watching highlights with him, too, and, like, he says his name. He says it so quick, though.
You
don't
even,
hard
yeah.
for me. It's hard for me. But I'm sure we'll learn his name over the course of the 4 years here. I was doing my research on him, and one thing you could see from his interviews in high school and stuff like that is he's a very passionate player. You could tell that he really cares when he's talking. He gets really into it, and that's important for a team to have. He's definitely – I think when he gets older, he'll definitely be, like, the voice of reason for the team.
The only thing I'm worried about is he's a little undersized, but, I mean, it seems like he's more on the stronger side. It seems like he's – bigger, that he can like kind of still bruise with like the big men even though he's a little undersized.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Mido. It's like, yes, he has the height, but does he have like the body? This guy, he has the body but like the size. But I mean, you can't teach hustle, and it seems like he's a lot.
Yeah, he has heart too,
yeah,
which is very important. I see in his highlights,
especially in like Mac, when it's like the skill is so even, that extra oomph of just like competitiveness and heart is huge.
Yeah, and, like, you watch his highlights, he's going up against guys that are way bigger than him, but he's not scared
yeah.
at all. He's going up there.
I mean, you saw that. We saw that with teams that we played against. So, I mean, like, Sienna Ryder had those kind of guys that just weren't, maybe not been the biggest. Like, they were kind of, even if they were, like, might have been less talented than some of the guys on Fairfield, they just kind of wanted it more, and you could tell in, like, the way they played.
Yeah, so I think Jason will be someone who can contribute off the bench this season. Very athletic player. Again, fits Jae Young's kind of mold.
Three-man weave even
recruits.
Mentions that he has like the ability to come off right away and contribute.
Yeah, definitely someone off the bench that can contribute. Again, we talked about Supreme Cook kind of providing some assistance to Mido. I think Jason could kind of provide some assistance to Chef.
And even at the three, I mean, even if they want to go big and he gives Cruz a breather, I mean, it's not like the craziest thing in the world
yeah.
to.
And again, in his highlights, he has the ability to shoot the three.
Yeah, no, his jump shot looks very. Even like Supreme Cook, like, yes, like he does shoot in his highlights, but like it's kind of like a. It seems like a work in progress, his shot.
Yeah.
But like his seems much more natural, much silkier.
Yeah.
Like, I could see him taking a shot in our games and.
Yeah, I kind of
confidently
said
making him.
He has that ability to shoot. He definitely looks more comfortable down low.
Well, yeah.
But he has the ability to shoot.
It's not like we're asking to, like, step back or
no.
dribble. We're just asking to be able to spot up if it's given to you.
But he seemed like he was that type of guy in his high school that
yeah.
they did kind of rely on. He played with a couple
of players. Yeah,
but
when you're playing D1 basketball, you're probably one of the better players of your high school. Unless
yeah.
you're playing, like, Chino Hills or...
Yeah, but he played... I mean, I'm just saying, like, he played at a good high school, too, like a private school where... He was probably playing against other good teams, and they were still relying on him to take that outside shot sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's just good experience coming in.
Yeah, I
mean,
playing big games, there's nothing wrong. Like, obviously, it seems like he knows how to play big games. I mean, it looks like he has, like, the heart. And, I mean, in terms of, like, Mac basketball, I think, like, since there's not many like fans at a lot of the games, that momentum from your own players is big. Like yeah. having that like that I guess that emotion and stuff from your own players is big because it just acts for its momentum.
Yeah, and there's that, and Jason actually has very like good backstory around him. He transformed himself. There's an article online you can read about it if you want. If you just look up his name, he transformed himself from his junior year to his senior year. He lost 17 pounds. Worked hard in the gym, not just on his body, but also on his game, dribbling and stuff like that. And he completely transformed himself. He talked about, not really playing much his junior year or previous years. And then senior year, he was the kind of one of the guys, like the guys they relied on. So that's huge for him. He averaged, I think, 6 points, 3 boards a game up until his senior year. And then his senior year is averaging 16 points, 10 rebounds.
And it looks like he didn't play much as a junior either. So, I mean, obviously that loss of weight obviously helped him kind of make the difference into being like a bench guy to being in the starting lineup.
And really took like the next step to getting a college scholarship. And that's the last point I want to make about him is that he's a kid that you really want to root for.
Yeah, exactly.
In that article as well, it talks about like he, I think it was in eighth grade, his dad died and he like made a promise to him like when he was dying that he wasn't going to make his mom pay for college. Like he was going to do anything he can.
So, yeah, that kind of stuff like that.
Get a scholarship.
Yeah, it warms your heart.
That's a kid you want to root for. Yeah. That's a kid that you could see why he plays a lot of hard.
Yeah, and why he – you have a – there's a reason why he plays.
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, a motivator. Like, so, obviously, guys just, like, love basketball, and that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But
it's a great story.
It's a great story.
Someone that you want to root for, like I said, like and that's – what motivated him to transform himself and turn into a great player.
It adds a whole other layer to
his
character.
I'm actually really excited to watch him because he's one of the players that I didn't know a whole lot.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him.
We talk about Jalen Leach and Supreme Cook all the time, but the more I watch his highlights,
the more
I'm
like more excited.
Excited
for him than the other ones. Yeah,
yeah, because he plays with that
plays heart. With that heart, and it's just like I can imagine him playing that way with Fairfield, and I can see him excelling with Fairfield with that play style.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to see him play, but you know we're excited to see all the freshmen.
I mean,
play.
A lot of the time, like that was like what Fairfield was lacking was just like heart. A lot of the time, like they just felt dead a lot of games.
Yeah.
Even if he can just
be that guy like on the bench.
Yeah, no, yeah, not even have to do it in game. Like even he doesn't even score points. Just like play solid defense. I could see him like a block by him is like uber like. And he like gets excited, like gets pumped, like that could
pumps the team up,
energize the whole team, lead to a 6-0 run.
Not this year, but
yeah,
energizes the crowd.
Lead to like a 6-0 run, and then you're back in it. Where last year, if we didn't have that, it would be like nothing would happen. We'd just go down another six. Like,
so that's kind of our. Well, I guess so. What's your outlook on him then for the year? What do you think his kind of contribution will be?
I mean, three man weave seems to think that he's gonna get like playing time right out of the gate. It seems like they said he's like kind of ready to. He's ready to go right away. Maybe not, like, play a lot, but ready to contribute right away. And I hope so. I really hope Jayon can find some minutes for him.
Yeah.
I hope to ask him more about it next week.
So I was going to say, too, I do think he can contribute off the bench. Again, not, like, crazy contributions, but few points, few rebounds here and there. Play with a lot of heart. Be that guy on the bench to motivate the team, always kind of into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it all comes down with all these guys to Jae Young, how he wants to bring them along, how quick he wants to do it, how many minutes he's willing to give up to them. It also depends on if Jake and Chrysler are eligible this year. There's a lot of things that go into it.
I mean, the fact that they even have this many options this year, compared, like last year they seemed like they really only had 7 or 8 guys that you really trusted to play. Now it seems like they've doubled that this year.
But yeah, I too hope to see him play this year, get like at least a few minutes here and there. And maybe as the season goes on, progress more. I guess that's kind of our outlook on the freshmen. We're excited to see all three of these guys play. There are some other freshmen, but these were the three we wanted to highlight the most. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and in 60 seconds we'll be back to talk about that three-man weave article that we've been talking about so far all the time. We're going to take a dive into that, look at what they have to say about us, look at what they have to say about the rest of the MAC, and kind of give our little 2 cents on that as well. So we'll be back in 60 seconds. You're listening to Red Sea Radio, WVOF 88.5 FM.
Hello?
Erica, got your sweats on, girl? Today's speed walking day.
Oh, I got to take my mom to the doctor.
Erica, your mom is in Georgia.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention that we'll be slowing down when we pass that basketball court where the Fine Brothers play?
I heard that.
I knew you would.
Just give me a minute to put on some makeup.
Sorry, you're breaking up.
Even when exercise is the last thing on your mind, don't give in to excuses. Your sisters can provide the motivation and support you need to eat right, get active, and reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. With the power of sisterhood, there's just no excuse not to live a healthier life. For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
All right, we're back again, WVUF 88.5 FM, Red Sea Radio, for our second half of our show, Episode 5. So we talked about the freshmen, gave our 2 cents there. So now it's time for us to look at this article. It's been kind of the buzz around the MAC and MAC fans this past week when it came out. It's a three-man weave. They give their opinion on...
their predictions.
Predictions and opinions on... college basketball conferences around the country, and they released their MAC 2020-21 preview. So, I guess first off, I'll just read their standings predictions just for the listeners. So, they have four tiers. So, in tier one, they have first place Siena, second place Iona, third place Monmouth, and fourth place St. Peter's. In tier two alone, they have fifth place Canisius. In tier three, they have sixth place Manhattan, 7th place Ryder, 8th place Quinnipiac, 9th place Fairfield, 10th Niagara, and then in Tier 4, they have 11th Marist by themselves to round out the MAC. That's their predictions. Their predictions for Player of the Year is Jalen Pickett from Siena, who we probably all agree
with.
Yeah,
Jalen Pickett's very good.
Coach of the Year, also going with Siena's coach. Newcomer of the Year, Barrick Jean Lewis from Iona.
But if you look at their predictions for the teams, like the newcomer team,
they do have Caleb.
They have Caleb in there, so yeah. that's fun.
So, yeah, I mean, that's good to see. But there is no other Fairfield players in there, all MAC selections, first team, second team, third team. So that's obviously not the best.
Hey, but they don't even know. They don't know.
No, they don't know. That's like, that's a big, that's kind of the
especially
big...
with this conference. Like, some conferences, like, SEC, like the bigger school, bigger conferences, you kind of know who's going to be at the top, who's going to be at the bottom. It's kind of clear cut. MAC, it's all the same, basically. Yeah. It's everyone starts kind of an even playing field.
You trust this to an extent, right? Because yeah. I read that last year they did correctly predict Fairfield's conference record of 8-12.
But I also
read that St. Peter's, they said we're going to be at the bottom.
A lot of these, they say, like, oh, like, it's autumn is... MAC, like, we predicted them to be 9th in the MAC, 7th in the MAC, and it's all the teams that are in the top 2, top 3.
Yeah, so last year, I think
take with a grain of salt.
They predicted St. Peter's to be towards the bottom, and then St. Peter's wound up being one of the top teams. So let's get into this a little bit. Number one, Siena. Obviously, Jalen Pickett returning. They have some other good players returning. They only lost 4 players last year.
And look at the size. Look at the size in their lineup. It's 6'4", 6'7", 6'7", 6'7", 6'9".
Yeah, so this is the team that everyone's kind of picking to be number one in the MAC. I don't really think there's any, people that would go against this. It's probably pretty easy for them to pick. But my only thing, and I saw some people talking about too, is that Siena is, like, almost so praised this year that, like, them being in Tier 1 with the 3 other teams that they're with...
Mm.
You could almost have put them in Tier 1 kind of by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they're that top, like, every... I mean, no defense. Like, Iona's kind of up there just for their recruiting class and Patino. Like, Siena has it all. They have the coach. They have the roster. They have the experience.
Returning experience. Yep.
With other schools, you can't really say that in terms of the whole trifecta. So, yeah, I could see Siena being in their own tier.
To me, too. It's weird that they have Tier 2.
That's Canisius by themselves. But Siena in a tier with 3 other teams.
I could have seen Tier 2 be Monmouth, St. Peter's, Canisius. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to throw Iona in the top
2. Yeah.
You know, so that was a little weird to me. But, and then just in general, I feel like teams 5 through the rest are kind of just like anyone could place anywhere in
those. I mean, Marist, they are pretty... they were the worst team, and like they were pretty bad last year. I could see them being kind of down there too. They don't have much experience, But yeah, I mean, this could be upside down by the end of the year. Like,
so, and then obviously you spoke about Iona, right? They lost some big players.
They also brought in a lot of JUCOs, a lot of
Crawford. Those were good players last year. They lost Isaiah Washington, who's a big name player. Didn't necessarily contribute a whole lot. Returning Gist and Isaiah Ross, they're returning some good players. Obviously, the big thing we look at is A, Patino coming.
And B, his recruiting classes.
And B, three
top 100 JUCOs.
Exactly. Someone from New Mexico State. So they got a lot of newcomers. Again, we don't know how they're going to perform.
I mean, but you got to trust. You got to trust a guy like Patino and his talent, his eye for talent, that kind of stuff.
And one thing that makes you nervous as a Fairfield fan is when he talks about this job, he's
out for blood.
He's more hungry than
ever.
Yeah,
he's out for blood.
And it's not like he's out for blood because of what people have said about him, what he's done. Like, he's not out for blood.
Yeah,
in a
malicious way. He's
very hungry.
It's just that he's been out of the game for so long. I mean, where is he coaching in Greece? Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's probably dying to get back into American basketball.
And he said he missed the college basketball atmosphere.
Yeah, he missed the atmosphere.
And
yeah.
He also talks about how towards the beginning of the year, beginning of his career, he coached Providence, right, which was a small Catholic school.
Kind of the same.
Same at the time. Now
they're Big East, so they're much bigger.
Now they're like a big school. Or they're still a small school, but they're a
big basketball school.
But he just says that Iona reminds him of how Providence made him feel at that time in his career. And he's just very excited to get back to something like that and hopefully grow them into like a superpower.
Yeah.
So that makes me nervous.
Just that having a coach that big and having him, knowing his motivations at like a 10 out of 10 is kind of dangerous.
Yeah, it really is. And I know we talked about this last night on our show, and I just wanted to bring up again, too, is that we talked about Billy Donovan, how that came out, the article about him. He was almost came to Fairfield, but he was playing at Providence for Rick Pitino, wanted to transfer after his freshman year, and then Rick Pitino kind of convinced him to stay.
I mean, some
one
of those
top choices was Fairfield.
Some of those things are huge. I mean, you see a lot in the MAC, the top guys, a lot of them transfer. I mean, Fairfield's had some guys that have transferred, some guys that have thought about transferring. Even like we mentioned, talked to Tyler last week about potentially his idea. He thought he might have transferred at some
and
point.
And I'm not going to lie, like I definitely thought about it. So
I mean, like that's like one of the biggest things, especially in a conference this small. Like you have to be able to have your guys and keep them long term.
And for Iona, having Patino is going to help
huge
people. And also going to help lure people, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at that guy. That guy's coached Donovan Mitchell. Like guys, big guys.
Yeah.
Like, big guys. And, I mean, so you have to take that into account when thinking about top teams.
His connections, too.
Yeah, connections.
So I just thought that was a cool story, too, because Billy Donovan, huge Thunder fan, and he's no longer our coach, but definitely appreciate his time at the Thunder. And it would have been cool if he played at Fairfield, but never happened. Moving on, then we had like teams like Monmouth. That's when it gets into kind of like I'm not like totally sold on like three
I mean,
or four.
That,
being,
this is where it gets to the point where
this
it's
is
like
where I wish
it could
they
be
been tier two.
It could be upside down. It could like Fairfield could I could see Fairfield finishing ahead of like a Monmouth or something. I see like Ryder finishing like in third. Like I think Ryder's too
well,
low.
Well, Ryder lost all their players.
I know,
that's
but
big...
it's like they're still like. I still think of them as a higher tier versus like a Canisius who that Fairfield last year swept. Fairfield's team last year swept them, and Fairfield's team last year was very poor.
And Canisius had Malik Johnson, one of the best players in the MAC, who
so,
now graduated.
That's where you like take him with a grain of salt.
These so just for Monmouth, one thing to point out because the Three Man Weave article has it. I remember we talked about Monmouth before. We're looking at their roster. You mentioned. Pappas, right?
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I remember him. I don't remember how. It's because they have
that dunk
here. This is when Monmouth played Kansas. They were down by 55. They only scored 55. They were literally down by double their score. And Kansas was dribbling the ball out, 8 seconds left, and Pappas stole it.
Yeah.
Ran down the court, dunked it on someone, stared him down. All in Kansas.
In Kansas, yeah. That's a crazy atmosphere to do that
at
in.
One of like the most iconic college basketball arenas, right? And that's where we remembered him from. I totally forgot about that. And then they had it on here. I thought it was kind of hilarious.
I mean, he's supposed to. It seems like he's supposed to take the reins as like the guy in terms of scoring wise.
Yeah.
Him and Hammond are supposed to like be the guys. So it's interesting. I mean, he definitely. I don't see him as like a joke. I mean, he's definitely
well,
good.
One thing that shows, it's kind of funny. It's kind of like a.
But he has that.
Kind
he has
that sportsmanlike move there.
But I mean,
but
he has
that.
Yeah, that competition. I mean, like you bring that to the Mac game, he's gonna like probably be like the most.
Shows he's fearless.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like,
fearless.
To do that on a national stage.
Yeah, dude, he is.
A, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, he knows he's on ESPN, and that like imagine back in like a smaller gym, he's gonna have no fear doing anything.
Exactly. So as funny that is, it kind of shows a little bit about him. And then moving on, like there wasn't a whole lot that we wanted to talk about in terms of other teams because again, it's all kind of just a
you don't know.
Toss up,
you don't know.
St. Peter's. Again, I will agree with you that I don't think Canisius should be like tier two by themselves. Like again, they lose their best player, one of the best players in the. Mac, they return. It said they pretty much return everyone else, which could be, you know, why they are.
I mean, they
so
do have a experienced roster. It's a lot of juniors and seniors. I mean, they have what two sophomores that they're planning on getting much playing time. So the fact that could be a big deal. I mean, especially in the Mac, having seniors and juniors is big.
And they talk about the coach. It was like the first time in his 4 years that they had a losing record. But again, consistency. They talk about consistency a lot with Canisius and being inconsistent. Last year, they beat St. Bonaventure, right?
But then they get swept by Fairfield.
Then they get swept by Fairfield, split with Niagara. So inconsistency until they could prove us wrong or whatever. I'm still not going to fear them or
you
know anything like that. And then you move into Tier 3, right? And so this is where when you send me their article – I didn't initially look at that top rankings.
Mm-hmm.
I was just scrolling down trying to find Fairfield. I was like, okay, they're not one, they're not two, they're not three, they're not four, they're not five.
You kept
five.
Going, and you were like, look at these
but
teams.
I was like, okay. And then I was like, 5, 6, 7, 8 range. Like, 5, 6, 7, I'll say.
Yeah,
five,
yeah.
Six,
the
seven
center,
range.
Middle of the conference.
I was really expecting to see them.
If you think about where they were last year, where they finished 10th, 9th in the conference? 9th or 10th, like around that area?
Yeah, they were like 8, 9.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you think about it that way, they finished 8th, 9th, 10th. And they've gotten much better in terms of talent. They just acquired a lot more talent. They lost a couple guys, but not like in terms of just overall talent, they didn't lose that much, and they definitely gained a lot in terms of like potential.
Yeah.
So if you think about it that way, they should in theory be in that 7-6-5 range which you were talking about.
So I was just scrolling through it and I'm like, okay, and then I see him at 9 and it almost like had me with a chip on my shoulder and we don't even play for the team or anything like that. So I wonder I assume the guys are going to see this. Like
they must. It seems like a pretty big article for like Mac.
Yeah.
Mac previews.
I mean, I think like someone, one of their families, one of their friends, had to send them the link to this. So you know, seeing them at 9 made me mad. I wonder how it's going to make them feel and make them play.
It's even especially with like guys like Jalen and Caleb, but guys that are scorers. It talks about how their defense is not the problem; it's the offense. They said like even if they have a significant increase in offense, they still don't see them finishing any higher than 8th.
Yeah.
So I mean the thing. To say that to a team that was so good on defense, to say that your offense was so bad last year that even if with a significant increase, you're still bottom tier in the conference, that has to be some type of
and for guys
motivation.
Like, guys like Taj Bang and Jesus Cruz who are
seniors, in their last year.
I feel like the article was pretty harsh on Jesus.
Yeah, I mean they talked about inconsistent,
yeah.
But I mean I guess he is, but still, yeah. You looked at two games, one game where he goes like that 21-point game is probably one of the best games of his career. I mean he had 6 points, yeah, but. I mean, he's not like a guy that's going to drop 20 a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like if you're him and you're reading that, you're probably pretty motivated to prove people wrong, you know?
And, I mean, also it talks about, like, poor outside shooter, thrives in the pick and roll. I mean, they didn't give him much to work with in terms of, like, compliments.
Yeah.
They said he was a good defender, said he could create a little bit, but, I mean, he's better than what they made him out to be, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so, too. And they talk about key returners. They have Jesus Cruz, Taj Benning, Mido, Alan Jean Rose, Calvin Whipple. Well, I'm talking about the returning.
The returning.
And then they have the newcomers, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone we kind of talked about. Chrysler and Jake both waiting to see if they'll be eligible this year. And then you were just talking during the commercial break about this lineup here, right, that they have. Just like... How good the bench looks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, which, like, last year it seemed like they had such few options off the bench. It kind of put them in a bind most games where, like, they start off slow. It's like, yeah, like, our guys aren't playing too well, but, like, who do we put in? Like, who would you even put in if, like, Taj wasn't playing well, or Jesus.
They look at the bench, right? Allen, Jean Rose, we Calvin, Jalen, like, Supreme, Jason.
We like. Kelly, we don't really know much about, but
he's
I mean,
6'7", though, he could shoot.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good. Like, Blask on the bench doesn't need to be the best player on the team.
And then pending Chrysler and Jake,
that could be, make them the, like one of the longer. That could make them one of the longer teams in the conference. I mean, that's one of the deeper teams in the conference. If both those guys get eligibility,
yeah.
I mean, or
at least one of them.
Yeah, at least one of them.
Huge to have at least one of them.
I mean, especially Chrysler as a big man. I feel like they're a little.
Or Jake would score.
I mean, Jake and I mean they're kind of a little light in terms of they kind of need one more big man or one more guard. Like either one being eligible would be
huge.
Yeah,
that's why I think at least one of them would be huge. And then we talk a little bit about the outlook that they have. Right, it talks about how we started the year off good last year.
Yeah.
But then it kind of went stale, and it was really just the offense, right? So, again, motivating, hopefully.
It also mentions how – it mentioned, like, they beat Texas A&M and also played good teams close, which I think we kind of mentioned a lot. Like, they played some good teams close. They, like, maybe lost but still played good teams close.
Yeah.
Even they mentioned Maryland, who they – I mean, didn't end up being close. But, I mean, what was it?
Portions of that game were close.
It was an 8-point game with 10 minutes left or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, the fact that Jalen, his first year, was able to do that with that roster was pretty – I think that was a good thing that they showed kind of early on in this outlook.
Yeah, and then it talks about Caleb Green's presence being a major offensive boost, kind of what we believe in as well. It does talk about Calvin in the article.
Which is interesting because we haven't talked about him much. I mean, he's such a wild card because it seemed like Jay Young liked him at times, like wanted him playing time at times, and sometimes kind of left him on the pine.
Because we have to remember, Jay Young didn't recruit him.
Yeah, so it's weird. Sometimes he's kind of trying to get him in, trying to get him minutes, and sometimes he's trying to, it's like he's avoiding him in spots where he could be used.
Yeah, and it talks about too, you know, he's shooting 31% from three on 113 attempts
in
his career.
This is what you brought this up last year a lot, like in terms of what they bring up, like keep going, but you brought it up last year.
Yeah, well, just because, like, again, it says that, you know, when he's in there, he's not doing horrible, but he really hasn't shown.
But you mentioned, like, when you work the games, like, you watch him in warm-ups, and he looks good, like, his shot looks good, which is,
I agree. I forgot that's what you were kind of talking about. Yeah, when I used to work, like, the Fairfield basketball games last year, we'd have to go, like, an hour or two early, and I'd see Calvin, he would literally be the first guy out on the court, and he'd be taking threes for an hour, and he'd be making, like, very high percentage of them, like, just back and back and back. Like,
I mean, obviously, there's nothing like playing, like game speed versus warm speed, but still, like...
And you said it, they mentioned this too, is the form, right? The form.
Yeah.
And, you know, Whipple's form and confidence suggest that he can do it. And he definitely has the form, and he is a confident kid. Like, he has the ability to do it, he just hasn't really done it yet in the games. And
I mean, you hope, especially if Jake doesn't play, or Jake doesn't get the eligibility.
He's going to have to help out.
He's going to have, he's taking that role now.
Yeah.
As that sharpshooter kind of we need. I mean, it's also going to take a little bit of pressure off him now that if Caleb and Jalen kind of start playing well and shooting well.
And if they can create shots.
If they can create shots for him, they can drive and kick.
Yeah.
If Mido or Supreme Cook can kind of play well in the paint, kind of suck them in. I mean, they could have done that last year because they drove a lot, but they had no one on the outside to kick out too.
And again, Calvin wasn't in that much.
Exactly, so he didn't get. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Jay Young kind of had those moments where he could have when they were driving to the paint well and doing well in the paint, and he didn't use them. So that's why I mean it's going to be interesting. I might want to ask him about that too, Calvin, in terms of 3-point shooting. How do you think he'll?
What is his role?
What is
even his plan?
Yeah, what's his role? Like, he doesn't really have. Like, we kind of have gone through everyone else and kind of. Still have, like, backup, like, starter minutes-wise. But Calvin's, like, he could start or he could not play at all. Like, we have no idea.
Yeah. I don't think he'll start.
Well, I don't think he'll start, but you know what I mean? Like, he could get big minutes or he could just be a bench warmer. We have no idea.
Because, again, like, and the article says, he has the capabilities. We just haven't seen him. He hasn't really even had, like, many opportunities to show.
I mean, that Maryland game was probably the most he's played.
Yeah, and he played well at times. So, but then it goes on to talk about, which I agree with, is that he's really going to have to show himself, you know.
Well, this is a make or break year.
Because there's guys waiting to take his minutes. It talks about Jalen Leach potentially taking some of his minutes. Jake will take some of his minutes if he's eligible. And then regardless, next year, Jake will take some of his minutes
It's a make or break year. This is like the year where he either proves he's improved and becomes like a solid player off the bench,
or he fades
and just becomes just a guy that's on the team.
Yeah. So it's a huge year for him, and we don't talk about him really enough on the show, but it really is like there's one guy on the team that really needs to prove himself this year.
It's him.
Probably him.
Because, I mean, he has guys in front and behind him, which you don't want in college because, like, you have guys
hungry behind him
to get minutes, and guys in front of him that already have that solidified role.
Yeah.
So he's like...
And just sophomore to junior year is that big step
where you're no longer the run. You're now the leader of the team. You're one of the leaders of the team.
And you're no longer like an underclassman. The first year, first 2 years, you always talk about, oh, well, they're learning the system. They're getting experience.
Yeah.
Now you're a junior. You know what I mean?
You know what you need to do to kind of be that level that you're playing. So
and you're not going to get like much better. You're already kind of at your...
Especially him, I don't see him growing, or he doesn't really have that athleticism to kind of have that upper level potential that you can unlock.
Exactly, he's kind of at his potential. He just really needs to either prove.
But I mean, if he's just a 3-and-D guy, I don't mind at all. It's like the same thing with like Supreme Cook. Like Supreme Cook, we don't ask him to be like a huge player. We just ask him to be a rim runner, like block shots, play defense, and dunk.
He didn't get a whole lot of minutes last year. I wouldn't mind him getting minimal minutes still, just coming on
3-and-D.
All I need two or three threes.
Playing good defense,
good
all
defense,
I ask.
You know what I mean?
So it's like not like we're asking to be some stud. It's just play 3-and-D.
He could be a good role
off
player,
the bench,
yeah.
especially in a bench lineup like that doesn't involve like college recruits. I could see him shining a lot more. Especially with like if he has to play with like freshmen and like that stuff, like I could see him playing well with them.
Yeah, and they could bring him into a more scoring minded lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
he also can take some pressure off, like, Caleb, who's, like, very, very small. He could guard that top guard that maybe Caleb isn't qualified to
if
do.
If they wanted to have Caleb and him.
I mean, yeah, we see that a lot with, like, in the NBA with, like, a Kemba Walker. Like, he doesn't really have the size to guard, like, the best point guards when the Celtics play. So you see, like, Marcus Smart take that role. And so, like, that I could see that being more.
And
like
Calvin's good at defense, too.
Obviously, like, on a much smaller level, but it's a good comparison.
It's just a comparison, not a, yeah. So, yeah, so it's a huge year for him. Again, we don't talk about him really enough on this podcast, but it's his make or break year. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is either hungry for a position or has a position. He's really only one of those guys like in limbo right now. Like, what's gonna happen?
And I hope he does well. I like Calvin. I've always
always tell you guys too. Like, he shoots really well before the games. Like, so I'll be excited to see him get a chance.
I just hope his results kind of catch up to that form and that confidence. Because I mean. It would be tough to waste that kind of, like, good shooting.
Yeah. And then, obviously, it moves on to talk about guys like Mido and Chef, who we've talked a lot about on the show.
We know our takes on them.
Yeah, you know what we feel about them. Alan Jean Rose, who we haven't really talked a lot about him on the show.
We've
made it clear that we're pretty big fans of him.
But even if he was in the starting lineup over, like, a Chef, like, we wouldn't mind it.
Yeah,
or Caleb.
It's a big year for him too because
I mean he had such
he's
a good
kind of established.
He had such a good
year.
Freshman year. You want to see him keep improving, not kind of hit a wall.
Yeah,
like he obviously had
not
a great
like plateau. But
yeah,
he needs to keep improving.
He had a great year freshman year, but like as a sophomore, you kind of hope he's still like growing and getting better, and not like just stopping.
And again, like him playing now with guys like and it mentions guys like Supreme Cook, guys like Jason. Guys like Chrysler, if he's eligible. Now there's a lot of guys fighting for those positions as well. So how is he going to handle that kind of competition? And again, I wouldn't mind to see Allen at the three at times this year
me neither.
As well. So
I think that's honestly even probably his like best position, like a taller three. Because, I mean, he has the ball handling to play a three. I think you're kind of taking it for granted if you put him at the four. He's not really going to have the chance to be that ball handler.
And like my preferred lineup, if you remember from a couple episodes ago, would be the same lineup three-man Weave has, except switching Jesus for Allen, and I would have Allen at the three.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my preferred starting lineup. But, I'd like to see him play there sometimes, but he can play.
I mean, we saw Cruz off the bench. I mean, it's not like a bad idea having Cruz come off the bench with his scoring output. Having a Cruz and Jalen and Calvin, like, that's not terrible. Like, that in terms of the guards off the bench, it's really not like a crazy idea.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the bottom line that it says for Fairfield is that it does have a chance to finish in the middle of the MAC, but it's really just the ceiling. Its ceiling depends on its offense, right? And that's – we're not going to argue that that's obviously the
– We knew the offense was the problem all year last year.
And everyone knows that. You know, I mean, you talk to anyone, you know that's the problem. And that's obviously, like, the biggest thing we want to ask Jay Young about next week is, like, how he intends to improve this offense that's been struggling for – I mean, since we've been here.
Yeah, it's always been – I mean, even with Landon, who was a all-time three-point shooter, they still struggled mightily.
Yeah. So I'm really curious to ask him about that next week. And then obviously it talks about defensively one of the best teams in the conference, right?
Which, so, I mean, you have to build on. You have to keep up.
I mean, when you're only giving up 60 points a
game. You don't need to be a top top-flight offensive team. Just do enough.
And that's why when they talk about a significant improvement on offense, we'll still only have them in, what, eighth or something that, right?
Yeah.
They'll still place them in the bottom third. I disagree with that.
I disagree with that as well. I think a significant increase in offense would take them from, I mean, because think about it.
From 8-9 area to like 5-6
area. Yeah, 5-6, I mean. Yeah. So, I mean, if Jalen and Caleb are as good as they are advertised by, like, things we read about.
Yeah.
That should bring a significant, I mean, think about how little, if bringing two double-digit scorers into a nightly basis. Chef and Jason, like, those guys can probably do more on the boards than what Metnani or Sengor Pearson gave us last year. So, I mean,
because, again, we were averaging 60 points a game last year, right?
Yeah.
60 points a game. It's so low that you just need two or three guys that can drop 10.
And you're halfway there.
Spring in either way. Like, yeah.
Cole guy dropping 5, 4, a couple baskets. Like,
And you're there. And I just think I disagree with the article because if they improve significantly on offense, if they can score 65 to 70
Their defense
is so solid that it'll always keep them in games. Their defense
when they don't have a great off the night, even with these new guys, even they don't have a great offensive night, a guy like Jalen or a guy like Caleb can kind of keep them in games offensively.
Yeah, because that's my bottom line for Fairfield. Their defense is always going to keep them in games, no matter what.
Yeah, even when they had no offense, their defense kept them in games against good teams.
No matter what, even against teams like UMass last year, Bucknell, teams like that, it's always going to keep them in games. It's always up to the offense. And if
Oakland,
they can, quote-unquote, improve significantly,
I don't see any reason why
we
also have to throw up, like, what is significant? What is considered significant? Because, like,
well,
it's like 10 points. Like, is that, like, increasing, like, by, like, 5
significance
points?
The word significance, it kind of infers that it's, like, a big
increase.
Yeah, like,
that they jump from, like,
I'm saying, like, if they can
bad
average,
to good.
If they can score, like, 65 to 70, like, get that average up to there, and obviously there'll be games where they'll score more than that, mm-hmm. and there'll be games where they'll score less, but if they can get that up to, if they can move that up 5 to 10 points, which I know 10
I mean, if they can get their average on offense higher than their defensive average, or like at least like over.
Yeah, just in theory, that
yeah, in
just
theory,
makes
that
sense.
Should help a lot. But I mean, like, in term, not in like literally, I mean, like, just like have that be like average more point, a lot more points than you give up, and in theory, that should work. That,
like,
should work
literally, but I agree. Like, I just think, If they can improve significantly, there's no reason why they shouldn't finish 5, 6, 7 range.
Yeah.
And I think even if they don't improve significantly, there's no reason why
they
should go below 9.
Yeah.
I think 9 is like their floor.
I don't think they're in the – I think they don't deserve to be in that
bottom three. No.
I think that – like, I don't see them being the same as Marist or Niagara.
No, I think 9 is their floor. Like, I think 9 would be their worst season.
Yeah. I think if they stayed stagnant or went below 9, I think
that'd be disastrous.
Yeah, it'd be disastrous. Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, like, we're not going to be unrealistic here either and be like,
oh we're going to win the MAC, but it's 5-6. I could see that.
5-6-7 range is where I really see.
Maybe win a MAC tournament game, hopefully, like, game or two.
No, yeah, there's no reason why they can't. I mean, they've come close in past years. Obviously, last year they beat Manhattan 3 days before they lost to them in the MAC. So. There's no reason why, but I say 5-6-7 range, and then they're one of those teams that really has a chance in the MAC tournament to just shock.
Yeah, it might make a run.
It is what it is.
I mean, yeah.
So I was definitely a little – I, like, had a chip on my shoulder from reading them being in ninth, and I hope that the players feel the same way. I hope that motivates them and the coaches and everything if they see it. So that's kind of our little criticism slash kind of commentary on – 3-man weave in their article. We are out of time today. We had a lot of fun on episode 5. We got to talk about the freshmen. We got to talk about this preview. And next week, again, just to put it out there, we are interviewing Coach Jay Young, head coach Jay Young. This is the interview we've kind of been so excited for. This is one we wanted to do since we came up with the concept for the show. So we are so excited. We're getting the questions ready. We're actually doing the interview this week. We'll be playing it live next Wednesday, 1 p.m., same time as always. And it'll also be on Spotify next Wednesday. This episode will be on Spotify tonight, so make sure you tell your friends or coworkers or family about this and have them listen if they missed it. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We thank you for the constant feedback that we get from you guys. Just thank you guys for listening. Our last interview with Tyler did really well, so we hope the next one does well with Jay Young. And if there's anything you want us to ask him or anything like that, just reach out to us and let us know by the next couple days, and we'll try to fit that in there. But again, thank you for listening. It's been a ton of fun. Another week closer to Fairfield basketball, and we hope you guys have a great week. And as always, go Stags. It's been WVOF 88.5 FM Red Sea Radio. We'll see you next week.